Hello, everybody. It's Karina from Break Fear, Find Freedom podcast. And today we have a beautiful guest that we've had a few times before, and you will remember her. She is the chocolate queen, and that's something that you can never forget, because remember, I love chocolates, and I'm sure most of you do too. Her delectable, delicious chocolates are like to die for. And she's so generous. I've tasted so many that it's like, ah, it takes you into another world. However, today we're seeing a different side of Maria Vlahos. A different side, a more mysterious side, a side that she hasn't shown before. And she's also like a bit shy to speak about this. However, the time is now. There is no other time. So without further ado, grab your headphones. This one you don't want to miss. Okay. Remember the sweetness of chocolate, but there's always a bitter side to it too. With that, let's speak to Maria. Hello, Maria. How are you today?
Good, Karina. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, Maria. It's such an honor to have you. And it's like so awesome to connect with you again and to chat with you again. And I know we're going to chat about something different about Maria. It's like we're walking away a bit from the chocolates, even though the chocolates are always there, right? The sweetness yes. of the chocolates. But there's been a bit of bitterness within your life. Let's just stay with the chocolate metaphor.
We'll be dipping somewhere else now.
Right. Touché on that one. Mm-hmm. Maria, let's talk a bit about what you have on your heart today.
Wow. In my heart, I mean, as of today, relief. Like I said, we're dipping into something a little bit different, but always know that at the end, it's always going to be very sweet, pun intended with that too. But in between things, you know, sometimes things are extremely bitter, extremely sour, extremely painful too, to get to where you really need to be in life. So.
Yes. And it's always the way we see things and the way we perceive them and the blessings we get out of it. And I know when you're going through that time, it's so difficult. And when someone says that to you, when you're going through that time, you go like, just go away. I do not want to see or hear you ever again.
Right.
So on that note, tell us a bit about where you at. Like what are we talking about right now? What is it that shaped your life so differently? And I don't want to say drastically, maybe drastically is a good term, but let's say differently.
Well, growing up, you always have this certain image on how people are, because the way you treat people, you assume people are going to be treating you the same way back, if not better, you know? So not that I was in a certain bubble, so to speak, but I mean, I've been blessed with kind people in my life, family members, good friends, family, you know, and throughout the years, you just get more of those goodness back because you think nothing else really exist until you kind of get a little slap in the face of waking up and saying, hey, wait, not everyone is in that way. And of course, you know, everyone knows, you know, growing up, you know, through high school and everything, you see different people, you know, in different light, you know, because everyone is different. Even identical twins are different, you know, so you can't really assume that they're all the same. So unfortunately, it's like, well, growing through, you know, through high school, you know, getting up, getting on the bus, going to school, everyone was in a different mode in the 80s. You know, it's like, you know, we're just there trying to get through the 4 years before heading off to college. So, and of course, that time is exciting, you know. So that's when you start breaking apart, thinking whatever you've grown and learned through your, if you're blessed enough to have your family to show the right way of things. You come through relationships. I was pretty shy in high school. I had a lot of friends, you know, at least I think I did. I would hope I did. But you look back now and you're like, did I? But the the greatness of Facebook and all the other portals that are out there of communication, people that were from your past, the ones that you want to be part of your past, they do find their way back to you. And then a lot of people from high school, you know, I'm back on Facebook with them. So it's like wonderful. You know, it's like we sometimes reminisce, everyone has their own lives going on. So everyone's busy, but the goodness that they had in high school, I can still see with their messages, with their posts, with their careers, their families. Not that they didn't go through any hardships through that time too, but that specific person, those specific individuals are still as true as I remember them.
Yes.
Which is amazing and wonderful. And I wouldn't think anything different, you know, of them. But after high school, you go to college. I didn't go to college right away because I loved working. So there were times through growing up, you know, when I was in retail, it was always working and then home, whether it was church, but it was all like related to like the same group of people that were growing up. So when you venture out into getting into college or any other place of employment, let's say, you see and find different people. And again, me thinking that everyone has the same kind of frame of mind that I was raised with. Unfortunately, not everyone is like that, you know. And unfortunately, some of those individuals came across my path, one specific. I'm going to leave any all names out or anything here with that. But he was just bad all around. Unfortunately, I kind of got drawn to that. And he was just very possessive, very, it's the first time I'm going to say it's abusive, mentally and physically. So it's just difficult to grasp that. So at one point, you're like in shock of what? What's going on here? So from school, then I would go home, put a different face on. So I was playing these two faces at that time. So, and for a good amount of time too, because I was in shock. I'm like, well, did he just like slap me? You know, it's again, a shock, you know, you think that, well, I'm stepping away, but when people use those certain words towards you, and I didn't know what those words were. And literally until a few months ago, what gaslighting really means and what really means with that, I'm like, he put it as it was my fault. So, and again, I wasn't, you know, there were boys in high school that I liked, but I never, you know, went out or anything because we never really could go out. I was always at home, you know, so not understanding that people, there are bad people out there too in the world that I never had crossed paths with, but unfortunately at one point they made their step in front of me and I made it in front of them because not knowing what their intentions were. So after 6 years of trying to understand what was really going on, people around me already visioned that I don't like him. My old neighbor's like, I don't like him. I don't like him. Of course, I didn't see that because I had my blinders on. So through getting stronger and knowing that I don't need to be part of this, I kind of like broke away from that. But the damage was already done. To my mind.
Yes, of course.
So, substituting a lot of other things with that, trying to understand what really happened, you know, so the weight started coming on, you know.
Maria for a
Hello?
Maria?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, sorry, I lost you for a moment.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry to interrupt, just hold that thought. I just want to go back because, you know, what happens is like a lot of times women are attracted to bad men. Like, why? Just give me a bit, what was so attractive about him? Why did you connect with him in the first place?
Really, back then, it's like everyone's like, not everyone, but Greeks, you should look for a Greek boy, nice boy. He came fresh off the boat. He even smelled like the sea salt, you know, at some point. That's really, you know, I found my Greek boy, you know. Little did I know, he came with a lot of stuff. And that's really what it was. I mean, I was working during the day because I didn't go, like I said, to college right away. I was working, loved my retail life. I was actually the youngest store manager that the company ever had. And they wanted me to go to Florida for training in regional and district and regional management. But at 20 years old, one wouldn't really think of a manager being here, you know, hearing me say, well, my mommy won't let me, because my mommy didn't let me go there. So I had to not, you know, I couldn't go there. But now looking back, my things happened for a reason. Not the abuse part of after finding him, but possibly that too, making me stronger of an individual. Where would I be right now? Nobody really knows, you know, the future. If we all knew what the future was, things would be much, much different. However, it molded me to be who I am today.
Which is a good thing, but, I'm going to go back again, because this is something that, and of course, if anything, like, I just want to put this out there. If I ask anything and you don't want to answer, that's cool. Okay. Because I know this is like a very delicate subject, but I'm also want to expose it for as much as we can, because we know that so many women out there experience this, and men as well. I mean, we can't, because there's men as well that experience this kind of abuse and become stuck in this environment, okay? Tell me why you stayed for 6 years.
I was scared. We never lived together. So it was always, during the day I was working full-time. In the evening when I was taking some of my classes, he was taking classes during the day. He wasn't really working. So at times I couldn't even go to class at night, because he's like, well, I need to go out to dinner. I'm like, well, so things that he even put a gun towards my head one time. Wow. And for many years, I still have that image and that feeling of that pistol right by my head. He did some things that he was not supposed to technically do. I'm actually not able to talk about that part, but I would, I found out about it, and he's like, well, if you tell people, I won't hurt you, but I would hurt the people that are really, you know, that you love. We went out to, and we would go out to one of my good friends from, gosh, 40 years now. She lives in Europe with her family. We hadn't seen each other because I wasn't able to go. He wouldn't let me. He's like, well, why are you going to go out with her to the movies? You know, I'm, you know, your boyfriend. So finally I was like, I'm just going to go to the movie. He's like, okay, where are you going to go? I'm like, I told him the movie theater. Called her up. Let's go see this show at this time. Literally, it was like, what time's the movie? What time you late? You know, and I knew that wasn't normal, but I knew that I was scared, and it was hard for me to break it off. But I went to the movies with her, met in the parking lot. Like I said, we were in eighth grade together. We graduated from eighth grade. And now we're like 15, 20 years later, roughly. I saw him in the parking lot. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, really? Wow. So, and I still remember this image. He came with in the movie. So she was sitting in the far end, and then it was him and then me. And I kind of looked over, and she was in tears. And every time, you know, I thought of that and I think of that, and I still see that, that was just not right, because he didn't only hurt me, but he hurt somebody that had nothing to do with him, you know. And whenever we speak, and I don't mention it to her often, but she kind of knows a little bit here and there. She's like, Maria, she goes, I know who you are. You don't have to explain to me. It's just, I missed my friend. And when she said that, I'm like, I'm the one thousands of miles away crying. And she hears quiet on the phone and she's like, are you crying again? Well, I don't like hurting people. And the last thing I want is somebody that hurts too many people to hurt somebody that she had no idea who he was and he didn't know, but it was that person that was in the middle of not having him with me that night in the mm-hmm. evening to keep him company or whatever, you know. And that bothered me, and that still bothers me. Because, you know, she just wanted to go to the movies with her friend. I wanted to go to the movies with my friend. You know, he did not want to allow that. Was there any fear of me cheating? No, and there never is. But he just wanted to have that control. And having that control mm-hmm. sometimes, no one should be going through any of that. And no one should ever control anyone, you know, regardless of what day and age we are in. Nobody should lay a finger on anyone, you know, for that, to keep them thinking that they are controlled by them and they need them. They're nothing without them. They're worth, it's taken me a long time to get to this part right now, knowing that I am worth something, that I am worthy of being alive. Because I had no vision. Someone asked the person, what's your 5-year plan? You know, 5-year plan. My vision is 5-minute plan, you know, it's like, because I never had one, because I never really expected to be around as long as I have. If I didn't make an abrupt change and literally seeing the light, because that's the only thing that kind of helped me wake up, like literally wake up.
I love that that you finally saw that. And of course, it's Break Fear, Find Freedom. So I mean, I have to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. What was it that broke that fear? What happened to say, you know what, this is enough. I've had it. It's enough. What happened?
Interesting you said that. You asked that. And I know whoever's going to hear this will be like, how does she let this go this far? After like the one last time when he literally hit me, I was in my car, passed out. My car was running. And this is why I have, I love Kenny Rogers as much as I have. And I know he's passed away now for many years, but when I woke up, the song Coward of the County came on, was playing, like halfway through. And I'm like, and I heard coward. That was, is what got me. And I'm like, yeah, he is such a coward for doing this. Sick. How am I going to get myself out of this now? So collected myself together. Of course, it was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I should have been home already. Obviously, my family didn't know anything of what was going on. I kept it all to myself. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this is the first time I've talked to myself a lot. So it felt like the more I've talked to myself that I've spoken about this, but I haven't. I have good conversations with myself too. got home and I'm like, all right, I felt like I was a different person, you know, getting in there. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, how am I was up all night, the whole night, trying to figure out how am I going to get this? I'm like, this is not going to happen overnight. I have to figure out just to wean myself away, you know, just to get away from this toxic. It was, and again, I never used the word toxic back then because I didn't think I needed it. I didn't know even know what it meant. I just knew it was poison, you know, but I just knew he was just bad. And I usually don't really label. I don't like labels. I don't like labeling, but that was just the bad. And then the next morning getting up, my neighbor, my foreman, she's like, she never used this word either. She goes, just kill him. I'm like, what? She's like, I don't like him. That's how she said. She goes, I don't like him. She goes, if he was eliminated, the world would be much nicer. And if she was a true Christian too, for her to say that, you know, and then, and I'm thinking, gosh, I hope nothing happens to him because I don't want her to think that I did something but somehow I just got the strength to just start saying no and calling his bluff with things that, because now we're in year five of all of this. So I hit a lot of bruises. Makeup is wonders. But he never made marks on my face. That's the one thing. Because that shows too easily.
Yes, that's too easily. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
The marks in the heart, believe it or not, are just now healing. I don't think they'll ever fully be healed, but I know that I'm learning on how to deal with a lot of things differently in life now. Like, if I can get through that, I can get through anything that comes my way. Like I said, I've never been able to talk about this before because it would just be a lot of tears on mine, but I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault, and it's no one's fault. That no one should, you know, think that they're stuck. No one is stuck. There's always a way going somewhere. There's always a way. And I was covering all my pain with food through all the years. And of course, that didn't happen overnight to do that. So little by little, I lost a lot of weight and then gained it, you know, little by little. I'm like, oh, I can eat the Snickers bar. I can eat 10 of them and not even have a problem. Well, it piled up. Now it's like, you know, just trying to get more confidence back, because I had like negative, not even zero. It was like in the negative, triple digit.
Yes. And, I'm sure. And you have, and it's interesting because now we're talking about labels, and we're talking about labels and about, and I'm going to bring in stigma just for a moment with this, because a lot of times when we're in pain, that's what we do. You reached for food, and I know I've also been there where it's so easy to just eat your pain away, because if you eat, like if you sit in a corner and eat, you don't have to face anyone. You don't have to, you don't have to face yourself. You can just like hide. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. And it's about, you know, it's just, that's what addiction's about, right? Where, you know, some people's preferred savior is food, others it's vodka or drugs or whatever it is, you know, or whatever it is.
Well, I had to wash it down somehow too, so that's, you know, some things came into play as well.
So you just went like from, because sometimes, yes, and then sometimes the food doesn't help anymore, so you need something else to just deaden the pain.
Yeah.
So you know, it's like no judgment, you know, it's just love, because you have to turn that around and realize that you're worthy. And it's only when you realize you're worthy that you can change your life, right? And that's so hard. I don't know why it's so hard, but it is. So you made that decision and you started saying no, but you still stayed for a year. What happened?
Well, I remember his birthday. And we had gone to this Chinese restaurant. And ironically, I haven't had Chinese food since, like, authentic. Not because of that. It's just, I just don't care for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I remember him saying, what do you, and he used this word. He goes, what do you want for dinner? What do you want? I'm like, you know, I kind of like made a little, you know, like, what do I want? Okay, well, you'll see. So I'm like, well, I like this. So basically it was like half the menu that I'm like. So he's like, well, of course you do. So he was making comments because of, you know, the weight. I'm like, he didn't say what do you like. So he didn't say what I want. So I basically said, I like this, 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 and this. So basically about $200 worth of food was ordered. So then he's sitting there and he goes, well, why aren't you eating? You ordered all this. I'm like, well, no, you ordered it. I said, I like this. I like this. I like this. But you didn't ask if I was hungry. So he was, and in the past it was because I would always pay for everything, thinking, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm not hungry. I already ate before I left. And he's like, what am I going to do? And of course he used a few choice words in the middle of that. what am I going to do with all this food? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm not hungry. I'm not eating anything. I'm like, and in fact, I got to go. So I got up and I walked out. Wow. It felt like I was floating out, but he had like close to $200 worth of food he had to pay for. So he didn't talk to me like the next day. I'm like, well, by the way, happy birthday. And then I walked away. But I walked away really fast because I was scared that he would be following me. But, but you know, I left. 4 days later, he called. He goes, where are you at? I'm like, right now, I'm like, I'm in the middle of something. I'm like, I can't really. So I kind of broke it away a little by little, but he knew where I lived. So that I was scared for as well. So, but I never told him to come over, you know, so I kind of did my best acting during the last 10 months of that. Not that I'm an actress, but I deserved an award. for best supporting, best lead, best all of that together. But little by little, you know, then of course, you know, he's like, well, I don't deserve you in my life. I'm like, no, you don't deserve me. And, you know, he goes, I'm going to find somebody better. I'm like, okay, good luck. You know, and I was being like that response, you know, then I'm like, maybe I'm being a little too comfortable speaking like that. So then, you know, the last 10 months prior to that, he didn't lay a finger on me. So, but I wasn't around that much to begin with. So.
It's amazing how once you start gaining confidence and you realize that you're worthy, you don't get that abuse. So what happens is, like, if you think about it, is because you were abusing yourself, like, constantly, like what is wrong with you? You're so stupid, and shame and blame, that shame and blame, because you were obviously doing that. And I'm just looking at it. Okay.
Of course.
Let me speak about myself. I can't speak about you. That's not fair. Because I was in that situation as well. I mean, it was the mental abuse and the verbal abuse, right? But for me, it was so easy to eat and eat and eat and eat. Because I hated myself so much and I beat myself up constantly because of that. But like you, the minute I stood up for myself and I said, you know what, it's enough, I'm worth more than this, everything changed. So I understand where you're coming from, right? What about freedom? So what kind of freedom did you feel when you finally left and disappeared out of your life?
Well, I disappeared out of his because when I started working and taking the train downtown, and I know I wasn't envisioning this in my head, because sometimes I'd be like, oh, that person looks exactly like so-and-so. He was waiting. He was in a suit. And this is fast forward like 25 years. It's a stop that I never used to get off from. And like, and I'm looking at this person, like, in a daze. I'm like, thinking I'm looking at a ghost. I'm like, don't tell me that's him. Don't tell me that's him. And then, I mean, it was like a spitting image until this lady's like, why are you staring at my husband? And I'm like, and then I kind of like woke up, you know, because, you know, it's like, it was like a trance. I'm like staring at this. I mean, if there was a picture, now it's like, I don't even remember exactly how he looked, but I know, remember, he had a lot of hair. And I'm like, looking at it, I'm like, no, don't tell me that's him. And I'm like literally fixated on the side of the face, the head. And I'm like, it has to be him. No, it's not. Cause there was trains going, waiting for them to clear, to go through. And then she's like, why are you staring at my husband? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I thought it was somebody else that I knew, and then she didn't realize that her husband was the person that I knew it was him. Because it was him. So I guess he's married. This is like,
how did that make you feel after so many years?
To be quite honest, I seriously wanted to push him on those train tracks. but there were too many witnesses out there and I couldn't do it. But then I didn't want to have my
a disclaimer here, right? We're just going to put a disclaimer here, okay?
Oops. But I didn't want my fingertips to be filled with that filth. And no matter how many years pass, yes, people change. People change. I'm not saying that they don't. But if that person really changed, there would be some kind of way that they will find you to apologize. Whether you want to accept that or not, that's up to the other person. But he didn't. And he knew in the area where I was at that I didn't live too far from there. Not exactly 2 minutes away, but there could have been a way of communicating with me. I don't have the same phone number, but the address is the same. So people won't, that specific individual won't change. Like I said, have I grown? Of course. I've just started feeling on how I've lost. I don't want to say, I use the word lost, because there was like 3.5 decades that have passed, roughly. Do I want to, I mean, if I hold on to stuff like that, I will never change myself. Mm-hmm. And I will be coward of the county. I will be the coward that will not get to the next step of knowing where I should be. I will be like that, like him.
Yes, of course. I'd have to ask you this question now is what happened? Because obviously, I mean, you're not eating as much. I mean, you're looking, you've lost weight. So how did you change? What happened to shift that? What did you do to shift from eating your emotions to like, was it something that happened once he moved out of your life or you moved out of his life, did you change those addictions, substance uses?
It wasn't easy. It wasn't overnight, but it wasn't right away either. It was like maybe 15 years later. And it was always still there. And I remember comments from some family friends. Why did she gain all that weight back? She looks so pretty, you know, without, you know, when she lost it all. Because at one point I had lost about 48 pounds and everyone, wow. And I wasn't even as, you know, as big as I was like maybe 10, 15 years ago. Because at that point I had like reached my max and for me. And they're like, what? And I would hear these ladies, older ladies, friends of, you know, my mom's, why does she do that? Doesn't she know how much she's hurting her mom? And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. And then I'm hearing this and I'm like, okay, how am I hurting her? Which I can see what they mean, and they didn't mean anything negative or bad. Well, it was negative, but anything bad about it, because I know that they have an image of their head of how a person should be. So I've been learning a lot of through myself, I guess, too. Goes in one ear, not the other.
Good, yes.
But
yes.
It goes in one and what the other, but then I hear that stuff and then I go and start eating again because I'm like, well, I'll show them, but I'm like, I'm really, really showing them. It's just doing me more, you know, harm. When I started feeling really sick, that time is like, okay, well, I can't. I was like inside all the time because I'm like, I'm not going out, you know. For me, I'm like, you know, I'm like, why do I need to go out? You know, I'm used to not going out. You know, I would always stay home and I would stay home. So at one point, my vitamin D, I believe it was, it should be a certain level between up to from 33 and up. I think it's where it should be because of the sun. You know, we all need to have the sun, and living in the Midwest, you know, it's unfortunately we don't have that much of the sun here. Mine was a 3. which wow. is really, really, really low. So I needed 50,000 milligrams a day to bring it up to where it should be. So for about 5 months, 6 months, I was taking the droplets of 50,000 milligrams a day. And each one was 10,000. So wow. taking it for the tongue, and then like I was doing it every day, and I was, you know, I'm like, I had to, because or else I'm like, who knows what's going to happen. At one point there, the doctor's like, well, you have, you know, we have to find out, because your thyroid is like, well, it's probably cancer. I'm like, cancer? We don't have cancer in our family. You know, why would it be? He's like, well, let's just take a test, take this med, you know, take these pills for a few months. And I was always hesitant on that, because I'm taking any kind of pills, because that morning when my father went to the doctor, he wasn't feeling that great. So the doctor's like, well, why don't you take these pills? You'll be fine. You live to be 80. 8 hours later, he had a heart attack and died. Whether he took one or not, I don't know. So that's still in my head. You know, too many things are, too many of the marbles were like going around there at that point. But I'm like, well, if my time is up to go, my time is up, you know. So I was taking the stuff for my thyroid, finding out later that they're like, well, you need to stop taking this, because if you're taking this, this is not doing any good, not damaging. You have no signs of anything wrong with your thyroid. You just need wow. to lose weight. And I'm like, so I have to do it the normal way? I'm like, darn it. I wish it was, you know, of course. I'm happy that it's
easier.
But it's easier when you have to take pop a couple of pills to make sure that cures one thing. It'll, because I wasn't eating anything. So, and I was exhausted all the time, all the time. And of course, because I wasn't eating, is that's why, you know, I was doing that. And sleeping is still an issue with me, because I rarely sleep, even more so now I don't. It was just everything on top of it. And then, of course, thinking back to when I was in the relationship, I'm like, why couldn't I just do what I have intentions of doing? I wouldn't have to suffer through all of this right now, you know, pain-free, wherever I would be, you know, and all of that. So, but, you know, a lot of things would come into play with the mind and how I was thinking and why am I even still here? So that was also something that came into, it's not, what's the point? I'm glad I didn't do what some things, because that's why it's like when you have bad toxic people, it doesn't have to be in a relationship like a boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever, you know, it's just toxic people in your life that triggers a lot of things that never were to even be thought of at the beginning, you know, at any part of your life. So I had him, I had what he was doing, what I found him, what he was doing, because what I found he was doing a lot of illegal stuff. And when he noticed that, he's like, if you say anything, that's when he was going through all of that. So I had to keep my mouth short in order for me not to be included in that, because he had my name linked into all that stuff too. So if he was going down, I was going down. Yeah. And I had no idea what was he was even doing. I just know that he shouldn't be doing stuff. So, yeah. So it was just literally from when I was in high school, I went to my homecoming. I was on the homecoming committee. So, you know, we decorated our gym, not the way the kids now dressed up like prom. I was on the prom committees, junior and senior prom committees, never attended my proms. So I was like, I hope they're having a good time. I was just at home after all of that to 15, 20 years of, well, about 15 years of chaos. Not that I was making up for what I wasn't doing in high school, going out, having a nice time like everyone was. But those 15 years, I can never get, you know, they were like pivotal in my life, because years later, I'm like, are all like gone. So
yes.
I'm like, I really have not done, I've got a lot of life experience of things that shouldn't be done, of don't waste your time on people that don't think you are worthy of anything. You know, you are so worth everyone. There's a reason why we're here. We're here to do good. I mean, kindness. I mean, it's just a four-letter word, being kind. You know, that speaks a lot. Doing good things that make you feel good because you're helping someone else, not destroy someone else.
Yes. You know. Yes.
The world is doing it as it is with everything going on in the world, destroying this, destroying that. But people destroying people, which is what's going on out there. And if you let it go into your head to do that, it's just not good.
Yes, yes, I agree with you. And I have to go back. We were talking about toxic people. It's up to you to, which you, that's exactly what you did. You cut him out of your life. And that freed you so much, you know, by the way you were speaking. Mm-hmm. So what was it that finally you thought, you know what, I'm not eating anymore, I'm not drinking anymore? Did you go, like I said, you don't want to answer the questions at school. Mm-hmm. Did you go into recovery or did you grow out of it? What did you do to break that cycle? Because it's a very hard cycle to break.
Now, mind you, no one knows anything until them watching this today, you know, and tomorrow and whenever they log on. So I did this all hush hush. Not that I was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was embarrassed for myself for letting it go as far as it did. Because, yes, of course, you track it back to how did it even start? You know, bad relationship. Well, why didn't you just leave? Well, it's not as easy as it sounds. You know, now with a lot more things these days, it's even harder for people to leave because they think that they are stuck. I never experienced boyfriend, girl, you know, having a boyfriend, me being the girlfriend, boyfriend, thinking that he was going to be nice to me. You know, it didn't work out that way. Not that I'm like done, you know, I'm like, I'm hoping there's love waiting for me out there, you know, for as long as I'm here on earth, you know. But it's scary, you know, because it really damages the way, not that everything's a fairy tale, because life, it's not, but just wondering, like, I know there are good guys out there, you know, but it's scary trying to think, you know, is this person going to do, not that I know that that person's going to do anything to me, but it's just thinking back, because you always think back, oh, in my last relationship, this is how it was. You know, or that's how, I mean, I was dating someone for like 5 months, but, you know, he, you know, he's a nice guy, but it just didn't, you know, it wasn't meant to be. So again, something, you know, especially when someone's like, well, I'm never going to hurt you like they hurt you, but you did, not in the entire way, you know, so it's kind of, you kind of wonder, you know, sometimes being alone is good too. So, but it's, just knowing that, hey, you know, I'm here for a reason, still on earth for a reason. What I went through with that, I really shouldn't be alive right now. With all of that going, that had been going, but I'm here for a reason. So I'm like, I have to start doing something to get myself back into life because we only have one. You know, it's not rehearsal, because if it was rehearsal, obviously I would delete everything and then start off fresh. It doesn't work like that. Wish it did, but I just talked to the big guy up there. but I never walked into a church. You know, growing up, it was always church, you know, every Sunday. In my 20s and almost 30s, I had never stepped into one. And never, you know, I just didn't. I'm like, if he saw what was going on, he wouldn't have left this going on. Is how I was thinking. But I'm he did see what was going on, but that's why I'm still alive. So I started volunteering, started doing a lot of things at church, which I just loved. That was like a big part of, and still is, of my life. So that was the light that I actually saw. The light from the radio when I came to and I heard the coward, that he will always be a coward then and always will be, regardless of how many years pass by, because no one should do that to anybody. Yes, no one should allow it, but when you're in that situation, you don't see clearly on anything. Seeing the light from church, from my volunteering, seeing all these amazing kids that are now parents of themselves, certain people that walk into your life. I mean, the people that are now in my life, I'm so thankful and blessed that they help me with every little word that they say. They don't realize it, but they do. being here today, talking, speaking with you, that definitely helps. I mean, up to an hour before we got on, I was hesitant on coming on, to be honest with you, because I've never said this to, you know, what I'm saying. But if I can help one person to know that this is something that should never have happened, some people don't survive stuff like that either. And no one should lay a hand on anyone. No one should speak ill of them. Sometimes the best company is just yourself. If you feel like somebody is basically harassing you in their own little, because they're extremely weak for them to do that. They have issues of their own themselves that they need to fix if they think that they become powerful from damaging somebody else. I was almost damaged. It just made me stronger without me realizing that it's making me stronger talking about it, being around, ordering the $200 worth of food for him to pay, whether he did or not. I don't know. I hope he's still enjoying it. But he has to understand, and anyone that does that, or if anybody that, I mean, the roles are reversed too. There are females that are out there that do that to their, you know, their partner. And, that's not right. Their eyes all over, sometimes no matter how many blinders, you hope that others are not looking at you and saying at you. So if there's somebody that knows that something's going on and you're like, oh, I should have said something. See, I never really had any other people around me except my family, which didn't really know. He was never around when my family was around. My neighbor saw him. Mm-hmm. That's when she said what she said, because she was like 4'9", and she was all with it. And she's like, you know, I don't care how tall these people are or how big they are, I will knock them down. And she knew what family we were. And she's like, no, that person needs to go. He needs to be eliminated. She knows she was talking about. you know, if I can help one person when they watch this, that, no, I should not be in this specific relationship. I mean, there's so many people that are out there that are able to help, have connections of finding out where to go, where to talk to, who to talk to. No one should be alone. And no one is alone.
Yes.
I think they are at that point when it's going on, but you're really not. You're really not.
Yes, thank you. First of all, thank you, Maria, because it took a lot of courage to speak out about this. Because it's so long and it's so deep within your heart and it's shaped your life. But I have to say that you're giving hope to a lot of people, because I think there's a lot of people out there that are in the situation and it's scary. You don't know where to turn and you're so afraid to speak up to people that love you. And like you said, there's always someone. So if you have the courage, because it's not something to be ashamed of. And of course, because you've been blamed and shamed and beaten down all the time, you think like it's you that you should be ashamed of this. If you're in that situation, reach out to someone, mm-hmm. Reach out to your family, to someone, and say, you know what, I need your help. It's not a sin, you know, to put in inverted commas, to ask for help. So, thank you for that. And, again, I'm going to go back to speaking about your addictions, right? I mean, now you've got your business, you've got a thriving business. It's like you've had it for nearly 10 years. Congratulations on that. That is so cool.
Thank you.
Remember, we're going to have all those other podcast episodes linked to this one. So check those out because they're very cool. And how did you get from being this scared person who's walked away? You've got like really courage, you know, but you still had all the problems, the medical problems, the addictions, to this person now that's confident, speaking up, which is, that takes a lot of courage to speak up, especially even on a platform like this one. And have a business, thriving business, and, you know, your life, okay, you don't have a relationship, but sometimes you're okay to be alone, and that is powerful in its own, to be able to have a relationship with yourself. That's very powerful. So tell us how you went from that person to this person.
I'm still terrified of getting to the next step. I know, like with my, with the chocolates, how, why would they like the, and it keeps going back and like, why would they like it? You know, there's so many other places out there. And I know that I'm like saying, well, it's not like this one, you know, and it's not. So I try to, first of all, give my like a little slap to say, Maria, wake up. Come on. You've been through that. You survived. You are here now. You know that that was not, that was just a preview of what's not going to happen, you know, basically. I know my stuff is good. I'm trying to, you know, and I'm repeating this to myself. And I'm like, how can I put myself in that? I'm like, well, I just have to basically say, listen here, you've been through, I'm not going to say that, you know, everything, not every, you've been through a lot. You know that you are a survivor. You know that you will excel and you have excelled. I'm getting into a point. So like I said, there's a lot of talking to myself going on.
Yes,
thankful lately I've had like a lot of, like I said, good people in my life that kind of like reinforce that for me. You know, and it's like, but no, I'm not, you know, I'm not worthy of this and I'm not worthy. He's like, what are you talking about? You know, you are. I'm like, no, I don't. And it's still difficult for me to get to that because I'm, it's, I never really, I mean, I've always had the encouragement of, well, you can do it. But I'm a girl, so it's going to work for boys, you know? So it's just, I'm just trying to break through that wall of mine for that. I am here. I mean, in 10 years, even though it was part-time of running my business, working two full-time jobs at one point, and then this one in the evenings, making it to where I have made it with my chocolates. And I know someone was actually, and even now, they're like, why do you keep bringing up the Grammys? Why do you keep bringing this up? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And this one, my response to this individual, I feel bad saying it afterwards because I kind of was like a slap in their face. I'm like, well, I'm not sure. I'm like, well, when you did something, I'm like, how did you stop talking about it? And I know that this person didn't do anything related to that. And then when I said that, I'm like, okay, I was raised better to say, not to say that to them. But I mean, because it's an accomplishment that I did on my own. You know, yeah. I've gotten past breaking all those walls down. I mean, my faith is very strong. So that basically helped me break my wall down to get to the next part to say, you're out of my life. I don't really need you. 15 years in between that, waking up every morning, I broke those walls down because many times I'm like, I'm not going to wake up in the morning. So having all of the positive part of that next to me and with me, I'm like, well, I have all this strength next to me. And the, even though I am weak in a lot, some other things too, that I'm working on right now, there's a lot more strength to get me to the next day, to get me to the next part of making my chocolates stronger and better. And I've been a little quiet on the chocolate side of it lately, but I'm gearing up for Christmas in July. And I'm like hesitant in saying that because it'd be like, it's July, don't talk about Christmas now, you know. But we have to cool down somehow with the snow, right? In the middle of the summer. But but it's like I have ideas for how my Christmas is going to be, because in the past when someone had asked me forecasting out five years from now, everything was just a blur because there wasn't anything there. Now I am forecasting. So for me to say that and for me to comprehend what I'm saying, it's easy to say it, you have to understand what you're saying too and believe in that. I'm going to be here past 5 months anyways. I'm going to be here past 5 years, unless somebody else up there has other things up plan for me. But my plan is to be here, to be stronger, to expand my chocolates, to make it bigger and better of where it is now. It hasn't really been moving much because I haven't been doing much. I've been getting orders, but I don't like doing things 5%. I like doing things 500%. And when I am fully ready and fully ready from head to toe for all that to work, because once I work, no, I can't stop. ideas pop into my head like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, how do I do this? And how, you know, I had to have to write it down. So that's how I, you know, to get to the next part of my life, to know that I am forecasting out. And for me to actually say that is a huge improvement for me. When you have others in the past saying that, what are you talking about? You know, you're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You're not worth it. No one's going to touch anything that has your name on it. You know, of course, that's not really front and center because I've kind of like shredded it. But the pieces of that are still there. And that's what I'm still working on, to not even have those existing anymore.
I love this because look how far you've come from, like, just living one moment at a time to being excited about Christmas in July, and thinking about having thinking about the future. That's an amazing feat. So congratulations on that as well. And you know what? As you grow and you learn and you flourish and you love yourself more, and you know, obviously people just love you even more because that you have the courage to come out as well. Things change so much. So I commend you, Maria, for doing this and doing it for you too.
Yeah.
So you can be a beacon and an example to so many people.
I hope so. I mean, if I connect with at least one, to know that, you know what, things may not seem, and it may not even be a relationship wise, but even if they think that they're not worthy for whatever reason, that they have that idea in their head. Oh, yes, you are. Because, you know, from 22 years old, I mean, till now, like that's 30 years, 52, oh, I'm 53, 30 years, like 3 decades. You know, that's a long time. That's a lot of years that I'm never going to get back. Did I build from those? I don't know. I hope I did. I mean, I think I did. I can't get those back. I've learned that hopefully the next 30 years plus, that I, not to make up what I didn't do, but to start enjoying what I may be able to do.
So. Yes, well, this is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, again, to come onto the podcast and to have the courage to tell your story is amazing on its own. And it's freeing in many aspects, right? So that's exciting. But it's exciting because life is just to be lived now, to be loved, to be enjoyed, to be savored, and what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all this time that you have, all this beauty, all these ideas, all this opportunity?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
I don't know. Just live healthy. That's why earlier this week when I had posted, I'm a quiet person. I mean, my mom's motto is like, you don't need to say anything. The actions will show itself. And I do believe that, but it's not, sometimes you need to hear the words too. You need to, I rarely took any pictures. Even now it's like, I don't even I've been taking some pictures for some things that I'm working on, but back then, oh no. I mean, I didn't even walk in front of a mirror. I didn't even want to see anything. And those pictures that I posted, like my before, people took those pictures of me, but I never deleted them. I don't know why. I deleted a lot more that were out there that people had taken. They had sent, and I'm like, please take, you know, I removed them. I deleted them myself. I don't know how I found the password, but I went in and I removed it. I just couldn't bear, because that showed the result of things that had happened in the past. And if I'm trying to get rid of, though I can't get rid of my past, I need to grow from it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to grow to be, I know the person that I can be if I delete those pictures. So I think that I made 8 pictures or so that I've kept, and I keep referring them back to them when I feel that I'm not worthy when I feel sad, when I feel whatever it is that I'm feeling, which is feelings that I'm bringing me back when I start thinking of things that had happened, not necessarily 20 years ago. It could have been a year ago. But I'm like, no, I can't live like that because I won't be living. First of all, if I keep doing that, cause I'll be stuck. And I know I've grown a lot from then till now. So I hold on to those pictures. And then when I posted on the other day on my progress, cause it's just over 2 years, of how I was to where I am now. When I started of slowly doing this again on my own, but I thought about that comment when I wrote, I'm like, I didn't go for help. You know, I'm like, I may have done it. I mean, cause I controlled what goes into my mouth and how much I walk, but all of the individuals that have entered my life this last year, year and a half, maybe even up to 5 years, they've all played a role into me being to where I'm at right now. So I know I didn't do this all on my own. Just the confidence that little by little, each person had a piece in part of that in helping me. And they don't even know that they did. I didn't know at that point that they did either. So it's filling your heart with good people, filling your side, your being with good people. Yes, with good food, a good cup of coffee, you know, stuff like that also is together with that. But when you have good people with you, they know good people too.
Yes.
So it's kind of like a chain effect, you know.
I love this. And that's probably a perfect place to end this conversation because we can talk forever, is that even though you're in your darkest time, you're never alone. You just have to realize and remember in your heart that you're never alone. There's always someone out there that's willing to give a hand or to reach out. And if you feel like you don't, there's always a higher power or a divine being or nature, you know, sit outside on the grass or whatever. But there's always something out there, and we're not ever alone. And it's so, there's no ways, you know, you always see those people say, oh, I've done this on my own. There's no ways you can do anything on your own. You're always in community, and there's always someone who's out there that's just helping you up. So if we can just hold each other's hands and help each other up, wow.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Thank you, Maria. What last words will you give to someone who's possibly in the situation you were in? Words of encouragement, inspiration?
Well, just hang on tight because good things will happen when your intentions are where you know that they're at. Because people may want to take that away from you, from your thinking, from your strength. You're stronger than that. And just hang on tight and pray.
Thank you so much, Maria. Thank you. This was awesome. And thank you again for having the courage to come out here. That is amazing. And remember, everybody, Maria has awesome chocolates, and we've got two more beautiful discussions that we had. So they will be linked to the bottom. Just one quick thing, Maria, where can people find your chocolates?
Chocolatesbymaria.com, Facebook, Instagram, and give me a call. My phone number's all over.
Thank you so much. We had to end it on that note. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much, Maria. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you all next week. Bye for now. Bye, Maria. Thanks.
Bye.